Good morning, everybody. Welcome to St. Andrew's Fellowship Hour. Our speaker is from Bridge Ministries. It is something that St. Andrew's has supported for a long time. Some of you participate in the Love Tree portion where we get to be Santa Claus to someone. And before COVID, we also did Sunday dinners and events with Bridge Ministries. And what was it last year we did, Jackie? Easter?
The Bridging Hearts Bags.
The Bridging Hearts Bags at Easter time. Jackie is the spiritual director for Bridge Disabilities Ministries. And I'm here to give a big plug. If you ever need any mobility devices, anything to help you, a walker, a wheelchair, one of the recliners that lifts you up and stands you up, shower chair, Bridge Ministries has a used, refurbished store that is just fabulous, and it's here in Delphi. Jackie, come on up.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about an organization. And again, St. Andrew's is not a new member of the team. We've been on the team even longer than I've been on the team. I joined Bridge in 2017. I actually came on as administrator, ran the office. But, you know, the Lord always has, is looking forward to the future about where he's really getting you to. And so after 3 years, I lateraled over into the spiritual connections director position, which I absolutely love. I found my happy place. And I do enjoy giving presentations for people just to know who we are. But again, St. Andrew's is an old friend, even before my time, and we'll talk about that as well. Okay, so I'm just going to start with a little bit of history about Bridge, in case anyone didn't know. We'll start, of course, with our mission statement, and that is that Bridge Disability Ministries honors the God-given dignity and giftedness of persons with disabilities. Therefore, we build relationships to alleviate isolation and enrich our churches and communities. And, of course, the key word is isolation, because that's how this whole organization started. Back in 1987, which was the birth of this organization, it was really an inspiration of a now-retired Presbyterian minister named Hank Wapstra. He really felt a real calling of the Lord to reach out into the disability community. But back in the 1980s, you found them primarily in institutions, because that's kind of what we did back then. And so he wanted to start to bring some of those out that really could thrive in a non-institution setting, i.e. adult family homes. And so really Bridge was born as a guardianship program. That's really how it started. So I want to talk a little bit about our guardianship. Right now we have 44 clients. Our guardianship is what I call our legal arm, meaning that somebody just doesn't call up on the phone and say, can you be my guardian? It is a whole process of interviewing, court approval, court review. We are under the courts of Washington and all of their regulations regarding advocacy for those who are our clients and our guardianship supervisors. They are actually certified professional guardians. They are not people who just come in and say, I want to be a guardian. You know, they have to be prepared and certified to do so. So everything we do, all the advocacy we do is like a power of attorney. So we, from the point they become our client until the last day that they live on this earth, end of life, they are with us. And I was just mentioning to Sherry that we just lost two very recently. So that's always forever happening, we know. But we gain two. So, you know, there's always those out there that are waiting to have someone advocate. Largely, our guardianship clients are the most indigent in King County. It isn't that other guardianship programs don't take people like that. They do, right? They care about those that need guardianship. But it has been Hank's vision from the very start that those who really could not even dream of being able to pay for guardianship services, because it is paid, who could not even dream about going into an adult family home, because that, again, has to be paid. He wanted to bring them out and enable them to be able to do that, regardless of income or how limited income there is. So a guardianship, we do a lot of things. You're seeing some of our clients here. We started something new a couple of years ago. We used to do birthday parties, just sending a card in the mail. And of course, the guardianship supervisor would go, the CPG, and make a visit, and that was all good. But we started a partnership between Spiritual Connections and the Guardianship Ministry, two ministries of Bridge, to kind of make our birthdays a little more special. So we started going out and actually celebrating their birthday, as you can see here, bringing balloons, cake, goodies, visiting. They have absolutely loved it. Now, I've loved it because many of those guardianship plans are just names on a page for me, because I'm not a guardian. But now they're not. It's really, it has enriched that every ministry of Bridge is not separate. We're connected and working together. Okay, so then what happened, we'll move on, is guardianship is how it was birthed and started. But then Hank began to see that a lot of guardianship clients, again, very indigent, needed mobility equipment. Wheelchairs, shower chairs, walkers, toilet risers, I mean, any number of things. But he started primarily with mobility. To get a motorized wheelchair in today's money would be anywhere between $25,000 and $30,000. That's how much they cost. Very, very out of price limit, really, for just about anybody. But when he started the Meyer Medical, what came to be known as the Meyer Medical Equipment Center, it was for the purpose of making wheelchairs, motorized and manual, available to those who couldn't even dream of having one, but would give them the ability to leave home, to go shopping, to go to the park, to visit with friends. So he started canvassing through his many friends, a retired pastor now, but obviously a huge network among churches, of gathering used wheelchairs that were ending up in people's garages, attics, sheds. Grandma and Grandpa's wheelchair hasn't been out of the shed in 10 years. Bringing them in, refurbishing them, sterilizing them, making them usable and workable again, and recycling them around. So two things were met here. One is it made these wheelchairs very affordable for anyone who needed one, because we don't ever turn anyone down. We can help everyone who needs one. But second of all, it really added to the problem of recycle, right? A lot of stuff gets thrown in the dumps and in the sea. And so why should we do that? Gosh, we're going to keep making it happen. So as Sherry mentioned, it started out as wheelchairs, but now the equipment center has a host of equipment. Even things that are non-mobile, like CPAP machines, hospital beds, things like that. So it's come full circle, I think, as a ministry of meeting the needs of anyone in our community. In any portion of disability, whether it's a lifetime disability or a temporary disability, like Sherry, who's going to have knee surgery, so she has her equipment for now, but I imagine after this knee surgery, she'll be running around the church, so just be careful, okay? That is her hope that what'll happen. So we do it even temporarily. They just come in, get what they need, 6 weeks, 2 months, whatever their recovery period, and they bring it back to us. So we're meeting a lot of needs in our community. Okay, now let's keep going. So I kind of wanted you to see the impact that we have. 2021 is the last full year of our annual report. In early spring, we'll have 2022. But I want you to see the impact that the equipment center has within our community. You see the numbers at the bottom? So over 2,000 people were served and reached. We gave out or sent out or by donation of 3,900,000 retail value if someone had to buy this equipment new. So you can see how much was saved and what we really provided to the community, and then distributed over 5,000 pieces. Again, not just wheelchairs, but a whole host of different equipment. So that is our impact with that one, which of course leads me to me, okay, which is the Spiritual Connections. So we started out as a guardianship, we added on the equipment center, but as you saw in our mission statement, to alleviate, right, isolation, two very key words about Bridge Disability Ministries. We know, whether you've been temporarily disabled or you know someone who is disabled, that isolation is probably their worst enemy. Unless somebody comes to take them out, they don't go out. If they don't have the ability because of equipment that's not there, they don't go anywhere. And I think we found out in 2020, when we had our big lockdown, really how much isolation affects all of us, right? None of us enjoyed that. We understood what it was like when you couldn't go down to the grocery store or do anything else. And this is their life, though, every day. Every day from sunup to sundown, this is their life. And so Spiritual Connections' intention mission and purpose is to be able to bring our friends with disabilities together. And we do it in a variety of ways. It started out primarily as obviously Sunday evening celebrations. Most churches are familiar with that. I think it's had many iterations over the years. It's now known as Sunday evening celebrations, although it doesn't always happen on a Sunday evening. We've had them on Sunday mornings at worship service and on Saturdays. But the whole point is to bring friends together with their caregivers, family members, to enjoy a meal, play games, sing songs, celebrate birthdays, crafts, any number of activities that they would enjoy doing. So when we got together, and especially when COVID hit, you can see the Zoom thing. All of a sudden, I knew Zoom was out there, but I just completely ignored it. What do I need Zoom for? I just meet everybody. Well, not starting in 2020. So Roots and Wings is our Bible study for those who really want to grow spiritually. It was always in person at a church until 2020. We didn't want to lose our Roots and Wings members. We didn't want to lose the opportunity to continue to grow spiritually, especially in a time of isolation for all of us. So here we are with Zoom. Yeah, there I am. I can take that picture. Okay. I should at least put on a little something. I don't know. Anyway, but we've continued it. I really thought Zoom would be temporary. I thought, okay, so once we get out of isolation, once we're all back together, once COVID is in our rearview mirror, you know, we'll all get back. And then I found out, no, please don't get rid of the Zoom. Please. Because we found members who never came in person because they could not come in person, all of a sudden could come together in Zoom. So it shows how, again, the Lord takes something that's a very difficult experience for all of us, and He makes something really beautiful out of it, which was Zoom. Never on my radar, now always on our radar. So it'll be a continuum for sure. Now, you see the picture there holding the bag. That was the Bridging Hearts bags, which Sherry had mentioned, because that is also something that was birthed out of the COVID pandemic way back in 2020. Again, nobody was visiting. We couldn't visit. No Sunday evening celebrations, which were what we did most commonly then, monthly. And so we started doing care packages. That's how it was first born. And so just make a contact. We had to put it on the front porch. We had to step back and follow all those guidelines, 6 feet. And we had to wave, you know, that was kind of it. But at least it was a connection. But as time went on and the lockdown was removed and we all started to get a little bit more together, I reinvented it into the Bridging Hearts bags because I found that it's sort of the equivalent of a new neighbor in the neighborhood brings you, if you're the new neighbor, they bring you a thing of brownies or cookies. Welcome to the neighborhood. I'm so-and-so right across the street. You need anything? Just let us know, et cetera, et cetera. We'll keep an eye on your house if you go on vacation. Don't worry. And so the Bridging Hearts bags were sort of like our plate of cookies or brownies that we were taking to the front door and leaving. And then eventually we were able to visit again. So we take them and we started to tie them all to holidays. That's where St. Andrew's got involved. It's because I tied it to Christmas, Easter, July 4th, Valentine's, because those are just fun times to celebrate anyway. So Easter of this year is when St. Andrew's, of course, got involved and did a delivery for several within the Bellevue area. And I liked the Bridging Hearts, especially with churches, because I really want our friends to know that your church is here, that your church loves them, wants to minister to them, and if they want a church home that's in their neighborhood, here's one. And so I think that that's another goal that you never think when you're doing the care packages just as an outreach because of the lockdown, because something really rich and beautiful. Okay, we'll move on. So let me go back. So about the Bridging Hearts bags, again, in 2021, you can see the kind of impact we had. So in 2020, it was primarily all the friends we knew. So it was just a small number, relatively, to what it became. Because in 2021, last year, I wanted to outreach to people who I never met before. I wanted to go to adult family homes. I wanted churches to go, hey, do you know there's two adult family homes just 2 blocks from you? I've already contacted them. Would you want to do a Bridging Hearts delivery? Yes, we'll do it. So that's how it grew to 581 total that we did last year from just like 200 and something in 2020. And 227 of those recipients were first-time contacts for Bridge. To me, that was a goal of which I was totally thrilled because that was one of my prayer requests when I took this position. I said, Lord, I want to find those that have not been found. We know the ones that have been found, they've been with us a long time, but there are so many that have not been found. And I want to reach them with the love of Jesus in a very tangible way. Don't need to preach at them. Just come and hug them and let them know they are loved. So that's the impact we've had with the Bridging Hearts Bags, which still continue. But again, I have to say thank you. St. Andrews, thank you. You are not new to the team. You have done Sunday evening celebrations. You have done the Bridging Hearts Bags and, of course, the Christmas Love Tree Project. So in so many ways, you are a church that is sensitive to our disability community. You love them. You are aware of them. I would love that to be for all churches, but I think everything takes time. The Holy Spirit works the way the Holy Spirit will work, and there'll be somebody somewhere in a newer church that the fire will be lit to reach out to those in the disability community. But the fire's already lit here, so we just keep it going. And so I want to say just for myself a shout out and thank you for what you have already given to make many of the vision of spiritual connections and Bridge come true year after year. So I want to finish with how to get involved. Over here on the table you see to my left are blue folders. They have a lot of information, some of what I've already talked about this morning, some just other information just for you to peruse, including our full annual report is in there for 2021. But this year was the first year that we actually did devotionals. We went to our friends with disabilities, board, staff, supporters, donors, friends. I mean, we just canvassed everyone because we wanted to hear their voice. These devotions are, it's from the perspective of a person with disability and God, because that is a real relationship just like it is for all of us. Disability never plays into that. God loves us all. And so we wanted them to have a voice, though. How do you see God? What does that relationship mean to you? So that all of us get a picture of what that is like. They are free for the taking. You can take more than one if you want to share. But our first distribution was just in September, so it's the very first time Spiritual Connections has done this. We'll probably do it again next year. But I wanted to make sure you hit the table for that. So one way to get involved is the Let's Talk conversation. You'll find that in the blue folder. We found that a lot of our friends, sometimes homebound for like paralysis and other reasons, they just can't get in the car with you and take a trip to the park or down to McDonald's for a hamburger. But they love FaceTime, they love texting, they love a phone call. And so we had reinvented what used to be Reach a Friend back in the day and made it Let's Talk, but with many different avenues of ways to interact with people with disabilities. This is something that we do. We thoroughly vet all volunteers and our friends who would like to be involved with these phone calls so that we make really good matches. So the relationships are enriching and enjoyable. We don't want to mismatch anyone. But we encourage you to please look into that. It's something we want to grow. It's brand new, and it's a way, again, to engage with those in the disability community just by phone. We also have the Bridging Hearts Bags, which I've talked about. The Beacon Church Collaborative. Now, the Beacon Church Collaborative was also something we started this year. We found that, you know, when we call it Beacon Church, St. Andrews is one of those. Those are churches that really are the light on the hill, right? People look at you or we point to you and say, this is what they do with Bridge. You know, do the Bridging Hearts Bags, the Sunday evening celebrations, the Love Tree. They're reaching out and making meaningful connections to the disability community. What about you? And so collaboratives is we were all talking separately through emails or text, but we weren't talking together in one group. And so we started the collaborative, again, via Zoom, right? Our new normal. It is for me. And we do that once a quarter. Everyone in this room is invited to participate. It's a time to have a voice. It's a time to discuss things that may be difficult at your church, easy at your church. This worked well. This did not work well. This is a great idea. And let other churches hear that. And to ask questions as well. You know, this didn't work at our church. Did it work at your church? Yeah. Gosh, okay. So what was the differential? It culminated into a conference that we just completed in October. Had a speaker come in. It was in person, but it was an opportunity for everyone who wanted to come to again hear some meaningful discussion, but also to be supported and encouraged. The whole point of the Beacon Church Collaborative is not to judge, to criticize, or correct. It is to support, to encourage, and to share ideas. It's meant to be an uplifting relationship through all of our churches. So I'm hoping you will consider that. We will begin again the first quarter of 2023. And if you're interested, again, my contact information is in the folder. Let me know and you'll get the Zoom link and can join us. Okay, keep going here. Tabletop Conference, I just mentioned that. Co-hosting the event with us, which you do. And of course, MMEC volunteer work. Now, this might speak more to the gentlemen than the ladies, because a lot of times guys are very gadgetry. I don't. Whenever there was Christmas things to be put together, I always told my husband, you know, you're putting that together. Otherwise, it's in the box when they get up in the morning. Oh, Dad, I'll put that together. But women as well. The MMEC, Meyer Medical Equipment Center, is, I mentioned, donated equipment, meaning it does need some refurbishing. It's very simple repairs, a new wheel, replace bolts, replace a padded seat, things like that, so that we can make it available to the public. That is work volunteering that we always need. It is probably the fastest growing and the busiest of all our ministries is our equipment center. People are in and out of there every day, all day. So equipment is moving in and out, in and out. If you have any equipment to donate, please let us know. Come, leave it. Drop it off during our working hours. You do not have to call ahead. You don't have to make an appointment. Just load it up in the car and bring it. We take not only the mobility, I'll get to the Q&A.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask, what are the things you're looking for?
So, of course, all the mobility equipment, but also, you know, if you have, especially if you have elderly family members, depends, those go very quickly, high in demand. They need to be in the package, though, not loose. Okay, so you may have some of those left over. It's probably easier for me to mention what we cannot take. We cannot take any kind of, like, Ensure supplemental foods. We can't take that. We cannot take any medications, syringes, or any medical supplies such as that. It will be primarily related to mobility and likely depends. And we only added that because it was everybody would, do you ever get any? And people would call and say, my grandmother just passed away and we have three boxes of Depends we never got to. Can you take them? And boy, they fly off the shelves. So, again, in the blue folder, there is a brochure that you can look at that tells you what we do take. So you'll see the wide variety of items that are there. Okay, so, and of course, donate I mentioned, and of course, always financial is always helpful to us, that's for sure. So I want to finish with this one thought for you. Our birth date and our death date mark the entirety of our life, but it is all the dates in between those two that will mark the impact we had in that length of time. So I'm at 65 years now, and I look back, I just had a birthday. So 65, you know, is sort of like the 18th birthday and the 40th birthday. And you hit 65 and you get the M card, red, white, blue M card, and now it's in my wallet. I feel really official. So, but I look at my 65 years, and I think, what kind of impact did I have? Did it make a difference for someone? Maybe many people I don't even know I impacted. Did, was it for good? Was it bad? I know none of us are perfect, so I'm not even wanting to make you feel that way. But I do want you to imagine that in however many years the Lord gives every one of us, for us to be very conscious of how we impact those around us, especially for me, the disability community. Because before I came to Bridge, I didn't have any members of my family who were disabled. It really, again, was not on my radar. But God had other plans. He has taught me so much as a part of this organization about the disability community, the value in just deep, rich relationships that you have with people in the disability community, unique personalities, unique perspectives on life. Love Jesus, love the Lord, want to serve, want to be a friend. And so whereas they might be passing me in a wheelchair in the mall and I ignore it now, it's like I see them all, right? Because they truly are a part of of humanity, of all of us, in our cities, communities. So that kind of concludes my my portion of it. But of course, Q&A, I think, is how we're going to end. So I already had one question. So was there any questions about anything I shared? Purple there.
Volunteer recruiter, is there an age restriction?
Yes, yes. Our restriction is actually 15 and older. And we do that because if they are under 15, we have to start to follow a lot of Washington, LNI, that, you know, it's just, yeah, no. So, and we also want those that don't have to be supervised, right? So 15 and older are welcome to participate.
Your scope of, like, regional scope of influence, like how far north, south, east, west?
Same question. And by the way, in case I didn't mention it, our, what's the word I want to say? I want to say not our market, that sounds so, but our people, right, that we serve are adult. We do not serve youth, we do not serve children. Now, I only say that because to reach youth and to reach children is a very different dynamic than adult. And our guardianship program are for 18 and older, so it's only adult. So just to make you aware that that is, those are the people that we serve and the community that we reach out to. But we go as far south as Federal Way. We go as far north as the Linwood area, as far west as West Seattle, and of course the entire east side. So it's within the boundaries of King County. So we don't hit Pierce or Snohomish, although we have friends that actually travel that distance, especially for the equipment center. But all of King County is the market that, or the people that we serve. And I really made that a reach out, especially with the Bridging Hearts bags, because a lot of the west side of Seattle, really nobody was reaching out. Of course, the bridge was out, so you know how terrible. Nobody wanted to go over there, and they didn't want to come over here. I get that. But I really wanted to reach out to the adult family homes over there, to the churches over there. You know, you are part of us too, a part of our network. So we really started reaching out farther and farther, getting those boundaries a little farther than just the east side. Any other questions?
Could you get support from the government, or is it...
What is our funding sources? Yes, actually have a number of funding sources. So obviously grants, obviously donor. Every September we have our annual dinner auction. That accounts for about 30% of our budget for the next year. So we just had it in September. So that was over $370,000. So that's going to feed into our entire budget for next year. We do also do grants through cities, and here's how that works. The local cities, Kirkland, Sammamish, Bellevue, Redmond, all of those, they only invest in nonprofits that actually serve their citizens, people who live within their city limits. So for us to be able to get funding from them, the two ways we do that is guardianship, because we have clients who live in their cities, but also our equipment center, because we keep a tally on who comes in and where they're from. We do that by zip code. So when they come in, what's your zip code? Oh, we served, 1,350 people from Bellevue this year. That speaks to cities. And then they will invest if they see that we are investing in their citizens. The other one is we also have a grant through the University of Washington, which is related directly to the Equipment Center about the recycling. Because, of course, they're in, the state of Washington, thank you very much. I don't come from a state that's environmentally friendly. That was Florida. But we won't even talk about Florida right now. Okay, let's just pretend I didn't say that. But Washington is very environmentally friendly. And so because we recycle, and those items don't go in landfills or out to sea, they also fund a portion of what we need in our equipment center for staffing, for the materials to refurbish, the sterilization machine that we use to thoroughly sterilize every piece of equipment that comes through. So they are also a funding source. Every year that gets renewed because of how we are assisting in their vision and mission of helping our environment.
Your clients, expand a little more about where they live. I assume they live in their own family home as well as group homes or whatever.
Yes. The one place they don't live is institutions. Mm-hmm. because we really are outreaching to those in adult family homes to really make connection with them and to help them thrive. And so our clientele or our the persons that we reach out to are mainly adult family home, but also independent living. Because a lot of our clients, especially in the guardianship program, are indigent, is because they no longer have family members that can care for them. It might have been elderly parents that have since passed away. It may be that family has abandoned them. That's common, right? Because families are not equipped, or siblings or others are not willing, and so they become a ward of the state. So all of them, whether it's guardianship or just those that we invite in the area to any of our functions, are primarily in the adult family home setting, or they live on their own with a caregiver, of course. And that's another dynamic that we're reaching out to, our caregivers. They're like the ghosts in the room, you know. They are so essential to a person thriving and being cared for properly, and we just kind of ignore them. They're just back at the wall. And so we changed that, and we started outreaching even to caregivers, bringing them gifts, right, with our Bridging Hearts bags, including them in our Christmas party, so that they also get gift cards with everyone else, so that they know they're valued, and that we do see them, and that they are very, very needed. Very needed, especially good caregivers, in which that is truly their calling. And when you meet those, boy, you never forget. They're just, yeah, they are really special people.
So what percentage of your the people you outreach to are in your guardianship program versus just other people that have their own guardians?
Yeah. So I wish I had those numbers. I don't. But I will say that we serve only 44 clients. The reason why that is limited is because you can only have so many clients per guardian, right? And one guardian can't have 100 people because there's no way you could see them, and you're required to see them monthly. You know, you have a hospital and other emergencies that happen, and you can't do that for 100. So each of them have about 20 or so. We have two professional guardians right now. We're bringing up a third, so that will help us to expand. That is one of our goals, by the way, is to expand our guardianship number so that we're not always limited, but we need that the supervision to be able to do that. So percentage-wise, I can say obviously the guardianship would be the smallest number, and the probably the next highest would be the adult family home. That would be the greatest dynamic, would be the adult family homes. And, of course, those are the only ones I know. There are so many in neighborhoods that I have yet to discover and to invite and to at least give a welcome. So, and that is a process. You know, a lot of adult family homes aren't, they just don't invite you in the front door. They're like, we don't know who you are. Okay, so, no. So it is a process of really legitimizing myself and Bridge to be able for them to even receive the possibility of a visit. Can we bring a bag of goodies, a basket of goodies? We did that last autumn baskets, summer pizza parties. We did that last summer. Just ways to kind of get in the door just a little. And know that we're okay, and we really do care about the people in your home, and you too. And, yes?
Where physically is your repair center?
Actually, we have two locations now. The one that has been the longest is in Bellevue. It is on Northup Way, 12340 Northup Way. The brochure in the blue folder will give you a lot of information, but we opened up a second location. I mentioned from Pierce County, a lot of people come up, especially from Tacoma area, and they come up because the, you imagine, you know, 405. Now, when the pandemic was going on, I loved 405. Nobody was on that road but me. I just loved it. And now I hate 405. Oh, it's back to how it used to be. But they would have to come all the way up from the Tacoma area all the way to Bellevue. And we knew that was a large number of recipients in our equipment center. So the vision of our director, Brinchario, was to open up a location somewhere closer to them. Still within King County, we need to stay within our area, but we opened in the Tukwila, and it's right by South Center. I think everybody knows where South Center is. There's a huge industrial park, Costco, you know, it was all together. Again, the address, contact information is in the blue folder, so make sure you grab one. But they are, but that one has been one going on now its third year. So many more are discovering it and seeing that they don't have to come all the way up to Bellevue. So that's our two locations. Is that it?
I just wanted to say say that I involved with Bridge from the beginning, and I knew Hank Foster very well. Served on the board for 3 or 4 years. But if anyone's thinking about you guys doing that equipment maintenance, I did that too, and that was kind of a lot of fun to get in there and do the nuts and bolts on it and get the good feeling of turning out a wheelchair again. Bridge is a great organization.
Thank you. I agree. Since I discovered it in 2017, I agree. I've just loved my 5 years with this organization. I really have. And, you know, we work with volunteers. You know, we know that there's those that are retired, and so they can pick whatever time. The only requirement about volunteering in the equipment center is that it be during work hours. So we can't do evenings, we can't do weekends. But those are from 9:30 to 5:30. If you came in to, after school, if you go to school or youth, like after school, especially if they have to gain volunteer hours. We get a lot of youth who come in and help us, like after school for a couple of hours. However many hours you want to serve, there's no minimum requirement. We would like at least an hour or two, right? Just because how can you accomplish anything in 15 minutes? But we're not saying half a day or 3 days a week. We work very, very liberally with everyone concerning how they can help, when they can help. And we want to plug you in where you like to do what you do, which, by the way, would also be the Sunday evening celebrations. So we have one scheduled for next spring here at St. Andrews, and would love to see you come and volunteer. That's the Spiritual Connections plug, which I do have dual roles. I'm also a volunteer coordinator, so I'm going to go ahead and plug that right now. But I love volunteers coming and being a part of our Bridging Hearts delivery, being a part of the Love Tree gift, the Sunday evening celebrations, so many areas and things you can plug in and volunteer. So that would be me if you have questions about volunteering to get that started. But we welcome everyone to participate in what we do. And by the way, volunteering really helps us with funding, because a lot of organizations, especially foundations, they want to know we're making community impact. So they want to know how many are you serving and what have you done? Is anyone in your community involved with you? Do they even know you exist? What do they do? And so the more people that we can encourage and really commit to doing what we do, the greater our chances for a lot of foundations to give us a grant. So keep that in mind as well. Our volunteers are valuable on so many levels. That's for sure. Oh, I saw somebody coming in there. Oh, we're almost time for church. Any other questions? Thank you so much. What a privilege to have met you, to have given this presentation. Hopefully you've learned some things you did not know about Bridge, and then some things that maybe you already did know. But I appreciate it. Thank you, Sherry, for the invitation.
Thank you.